Okay, here we are, and another day, another set of statistics, more suffering, more confusion, we might add, a lot of things going on. This is not a real simple cut and dry issue for some. We'll also mention that as well. I think many of you understand that by this point in time. The section we have for coronavirus stories begins with Trump calls Debbie Birx's coronavirus warnings pathetic. Pathetic. How bad is coronavirus really? A Swedish doctor's perspective. That's another interesting read. This is a multifaceted problem. It's being viewed differently in many places. California public health director suddenly quits after massive virus data error discovered. California will soon be paying $1,250 each to all people who test positive for coronavirus. Coronavirus pandemic could be twice as bad for global economy as a world war. Interesting. We don't know how bad the damage here is yet, but it is quite clearly of great significance. Let's see, there's one more. And it had to do with, let me find it here just a second. Okay, here it is. CDC says in updated guidance, avoid wearing coronavirus face masks with vents or valves. See those all the time out there. So CDC updated set of guidelines. Those are all in the headlines for you right now to think about, to consider. All right, considering is this man's job, Dr. Henry Nyman, and he does it better than anyone else. Welcome back, Henry.
Well, Jeff, it's good to be back, and there's a lot of things to consider. I think it's pretty cut and dry, but
understood. I understood.
A little bit of the updates. Probably the most significant one will have to do with the schools. You had asked last week if there was any initial results, and those results are starting to come in. A lot of schools in the South, I believe, opened today. There was a spattering of openings last week. And there's updates on the ones that did open last week. One of the schools, which was in Georgia, is a high school, and it kind of made the news because one of the students took a picture of the crowds in the halls between classes, and the students were literally shoulder to shoulder, and she had been given a 5-day suspension for taking a picture in school. That was
don't forget the
rules.
Public lashing she got too in the quad. And you got that.
Well, it was actually going to be a 5-day suspension, but her mother called, and media, I'm sure, called. Media probably called a lot. And the suspension was lifted, so she was not suspended. And then I think there was a second photo indicating that there was at least comments that on the second day things weren't any better than on the first day. Right. And that school was noteworthy because its policy was mask optional. And even though the photograph was from the back, the comments indicated that only about 10% of the students were wearing masks. So 90% of the students didn't wear masks. It was optional. And the governor just did an update today who said that the optional position would stand. There was no there's no plans to make mask wearing mandatory. And this is in Georgia, and as I had mentioned yesterday or last week, their daily number for new cases, at least during the week, it goes down a little bit over the weekend, is over 4,000 now. So they get 4,000 new cases every day, excluding weekends. And they've got this face mask optional, which has been adopted by many, if not all, of the schools. And that option is exercised by the vast majority of the students, at least in this one that was in the news last week. So the update on this school is it's closed. They closed down today. They did a little bit of testing, and I believe there's 9 students are positive. And so they decided they're going to close the school for 2 days to do a deep cleaning, which I don't know if they're going to put Lysol in the students' lungs, but I mean, I guess they're going to be going for the surfaces at the school and right. Kind of ignore the fact that 90% of the students don't wear masks. And the 9 that were positive are probably not going to be there, but the ones they infected will be there. So I mean, the whole thing is, you know, absurd. I mean, it's a joke. You know, the idea that they're going to hold in class with no masks when mm-hmm. they've got 4,000 cases a day.
Right.
That's a pretty cut and dry situation. And,
very simple. Sure.
And they haven't decided what they're going to do on Wednesday. So they're closed today. They're closed tomorrow. At tomorrow night, they're going to decide whether they're going to continue having in-class studies. And some rumors are that they will not reopen the school and that they will go to virtual, you know, only, and there will be no in-class. Another school, I think it was also in Georgia, announced that they were having some issues. They had, again, I think it was 9 students that tested positive. One staff member tested positive. And as a result of those positives, there were 100 contacts that were on a 14-day quarantine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some were going to be coming back in a few days. They'd already been out of class or at least at home for 10 days. I'm not sure when that school started. Maybe they started a week or so earlier. And that kind of gave me a feel that the a few students will lead to a lot of students missing class and a lot of teachers missing class. And this is not going to improve. This is with a limited number of class schools open so far this month, but with quite a few starting, I believe today is the first day of class. And for Georgia, anyway, it's mask optional. But I believe it's also mask optional in Florida. Florida's kind of doing the same, you know, experiment, seeing how many warriors they can identify for the virus to feed upon. And this is, you know, utter nonsense. You know, the idea that they're going to go ahead and bring all those students into classrooms, even if it's only a third or half of the normal number of students, they're not going to wear masks. They've got rates that are 15-20% positives on the testing. They've got literally thousands of new cases every day. and now they're going to put hundreds of thousands of students into classrooms without masks and see what's going to happen. This is an experiment on a very large scale with obvious outcomes, and Trump's just cheering them on. Now, speaking of cheering, you know, I've emphasized sports teams in the past because the sports teams basically have a preseason where they're getting ready for their season. So they start practicing before the school opens, and things like football is with the number of players on a team, the number of affiliated personnel that are contacts of the players, and the close contacts that the players have to each other makes a football season in the fall a pipe dream. I mean, that is not reality based. And right. Some of the conferences are coming into contact with reality and making decisions. So the, I guess, Mid-American Conference, the MAC Conference, has already decided no football in the fall. Maybe they'll reschedule in the spring.
I think the Big Ten has made
the
that
Big
decision.
Ten. Right, right. Mm-hmm. I'm going down the list.
I got
the Big Ten, that was yesterday. The Big Ten decided today that they are also canceling the fall season. Maybe they'll do it in the spring. The SEC is going to make a decision very soon, but it is under consideration of canceling the fall season and rescheduling in the spring. And these will just fall like dominoes. There is no way there is going to be a college football season this fall. Some might start and play for a couple of games, but there's no way there'll be a full season this fall. And I doubt that they'll get past a month of play for any of the conferences. And Trump is tweeting that the college football must go on, or I don't know what he said. But basically, that was the gist of his tweet. It was college football must play. And then there was a follow-up with the players have practiced too hard. So because the players practice hard, they have the right to infect entire school districts and their parents and their grandparents because they worked hard enough to earn that privilege in the United States of America. So said the commander-in-chief today. The guy is out in left field. He is in la la land. He has no hold on reality.
Well, politically, he'd be out in right field.
He's not even in the field. He's left the building, so to speak.
That's a good line. You get a 10 for that. That's a good line. He's left the building.
He is checked out. He's in his own universe. He thinks that college players are going to play football and affect entire schools because they practiced. And that's his logic. You know, it's in writing. He's tweeted that. I mean, he's on the record. That's his position. College football should go on because the players practiced. And it keeps on going. I mean, the Pediatric Association just came out and said in the last 2 weeks in July, there were 97,000 children diagnosed with COVID. And Trump, of course, has said they're immune, and got his tweets and posts on Facebook pulled down for misleading statements about the pandemic. pandemic, claiming that children are immune from the virus.
Mm-hmm.
I think today he's kind of doing a modification, a clarification, modification, saying, well, they don't die. He's not saying they don't get it now. He said, well, you know, very, very, very small percentage of children die from the virus. And, you know, they've got immunity or they've got something. He doesn't know what they got, but, you know, they survive. And so that's what he means when he says they're immune. But he's really not looking at the entire picture, because even if they don't die, and they don't, the frequency of deaths is low, although I think it's approaching 100 dead already, but and it will almost certainly go higher in the fall, especially when they return to school. So he's really using early numbers. Keep saying this, the herald wave. So this is just the introduction. This is a walk in the park compared to what it's going to be like in the fall.
Right.
So the spring is just spring training, so to speak. The virus is out there, kind of getting ready to invade the species. Already caused 5 million cases in the U.S., 20 million cases worldwide, and it's just warming up. I mean, the real season starts in the fall, and it's going to get kicked off by the start of the school season. All these students are going to go to the class. They're going to get the virus. They're going to bring it home. They're going to affect their parents. They're going to affect their grandparents. And the virus is going to get a major boost from the start of the school year.
Right.
And it's going to get an assist by these governors that won't even make masks mandatory for students, in-class students, which is playing right into the hand of the virus. I mean, the virus is just kind of watching there. They don't really care if you do any testing. They think it's great that you're going to go ahead and ignore use of masks. And it's literally like shooting fish in a barrel. He's going to infect students in the school without them wearing masks. And the governors and Trump are ordering them to school to see what's going to happen. And he said, well, not that many are going to die because, you know, they don't have that high of a fatality rate. But he has no idea about the long-term effects, and either do many people. I mean, it's a new virus, and there's already indications that there are long-term effects, and there is damage that's done to people that survive. There's even evidence of damage that's done to those that are infected and are asymptomatic. So you don't mm-hmm. even know the damage unless you do an MRI of their lungs.
Right.
Or you give them some type of, stress test or something and see how well their heart works and their lungs work under various conditions. But in any event, in addition to these long-term consequences that are not reflected in the fatality rate, there is the vectoring of the virus by students. And there was some early data that said that maybe elementary schools didn't transmit the virus that well.
Uh-huh.
That was really done with the original strain of the virus. That really wasn't done with the Italian lineage, which is throughout the world now, certainly throughout the U.S. And, you know, there are some pockets where it isn't that common, like Asia. But there aren't that many pockets anymore. It's pretty well covered the whole U.S. and it's pretty much covered the entire North and South America. So this half of the world is totally covered by the Italian strain. And and short of, you know, excluding Asia or China in particular, it's pretty well covered. I mean, Russia is overloaded with the virus. All of Africa is overloaded with the virus. Europe is overloaded with the, I mean, this is all the Italian strain. So some of the early data on children is not that applicable because they're talking about a virus that's not even circulating anymore. It's already been replaced by the Italian strain. And the transmission is going to be significant because even those earlier studies were mostly focused on young children. They weren't focused on teenagers, which are who the students are in the middle schools and the high schools. So the middle schools and the high schools have teenagers that have plenty of virus and transmit the virus to other teenagers as well as their parents, as well as their grandparents. And then you've got even older students in college. And it's the same thing there, that you're going to have them packed into these classrooms. And some of the schools are still talking about having sports, so they still have football, maybe. And you're going to have, I'm not sure what their plans are for the football game.
Well, since
they're going to have students in the stands, or they're going to play you know, to empty stands.
Here's the bigger picture.
Okay, go.
Since most people, including us, agree that the virus in all likelihood is going to become endemic and is not going to vanish or go away, it's going to be here next year. So,
right.
What do we look to? And I know 60% of Americans will refuse to take a vaccine.
Well,
that's a problem. That's what it is right now.
That's a problem for the 60%. If the vaccine's effective, then, you know,
well, we don't know anything about. There's about six vaccines out there, and I don't know, but
right.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of different vaccines. Generally, the way that works is that they're not all equal, and the ones that work better will become more common because people are going to take the most effective vaccine. And that effective vaccine, it'll be somewhat like the mask. I mean, the masks don't guarantee that you won't get infected. In fact, the masks that are being used are ones that are designed to protect others from being infected by you. And so they still reduce the amount of virus it can get through, and that basically can lead to milder disease. And the same is likely going to be true for the vaccines. The vaccines may not prevent you from being infected 100%. It'll prevent some. But for those that do get infected, there'll be less virus. I mean, it's viral load is an important component of how the virus works, because it's basically, in simple terms, it's just a battle between the host and the virus. The virus is there, can't grow without being in a host, got just a few genes. It can't encode that much. It can code the enzyme, the polymerase, that copies this genetic information and a few structural proteins to put the virus together. But it doesn't have the machinery. It has to infect a host. It has to use the machinery of the cells in the host to replicate. And it's going to replicate as much as it can so that it can not only infect that host, but that host can transmit it to another host. And then the host is going the other way. They want to get rid of the virus. So the host basically mounts an immune response, and it goes after the virus. And there's a battle. So if the amount of virus that begins the battle is lower, then that tips the scale in favor of the host, and the host can get rid of the virus quicker, and it might be able to get rid of the virus before it really spreads very much. And that can overcome the virus, and it overcomes the virus even better if there's herd immunity, so that right. if other people around that host already have immunity, then it's harder for the virus to continue to propagate itself and right. to infect others. So so the vaccine, sooner or later, and it'll probably to a degree will be sooner, will have some effect. And later, it'll have a stronger effect. And the 60% won't take it is nonsense. I mean, people may say that. And they might say, well, I'm not going to take it. I don't really know if it works. And blah, 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 blah. But if the virus is available and is shown to be effective.
If the vaccine is available, not the virus.
Right. I'm sorry. Well, it won't be available, but right, correct.
Yeah, it certainly will be.
If the vaccine's available and is shown to be effective, the people that might be saying, nah, I'm not going to take it because X, Y, and Z, X and Y will fall by the wayside, and you'll have some that will hold on to Z and say, I'm not going to take a vaccine. Yeah, people are interviewed already. Well, you know, you need to build immunity sooner or later. You know, I just take my chances on it and da 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 da. But the virus is going to continue to cause the problems. The number of people infected this fall will increase significantly. People will know people that were infected. People will know people that died, and people will eventually know people that took the vaccine and didn't get infected. And the vaccine usage will increase. So 60% won't take it. Maybe you can get some support for that today. You won't get that support for an effective vaccine against a lethal virus. People will take that. And people are concerned already. That's Trump's Achilles heel. I mean, if you notice, after he stopped all advertising and kind of reevaluated, and now is coming out with new advertising, there's two components that are missing from most of the ads. One is Trump's name, because he's gotten so toxic, he doesn't even mention his name. He just mentions Biden's. And the other is the virus. He doesn't talk about the coronavirus. He doesn't talk about the pandemic. He obviously doesn't talk about the 160,000 that are dead going to 300,000 by the time the election comes around, and going onward and upward for the rest of this year and the beginning of next year. So it might be beating out the total number of deaths in the American deaths in World War II, which is a little over 400,000. 400,000 is certainly well within reach. By January, it could be 400,000 deaths, especially yes. if there's 300,000 by December 1st. So the death toll will be going up, and that is going to be a problem. People are concerned about the virus today, and all they've seen is the Herald wave. They have not seen what the virus can do once it gets rolling like this. Fall. And this fall is going to be complicated because, A, there likely will be a reasonable flu season, although it could affect the flu season. It may be lower than normal. and there's going to be confusion because the symptoms are virtually the same. You know, it's hard to distinguish between flu and COVID. And the testing will get delayed because these same labs, national labs that are doing COVID screening, will have a demand for flu screening. And there'll be more people that want to be tested because they don't know what they've got. And so more will have symptoms, even if the symptoms are flu, or even if the symptoms are some type of upper respiratory tract infections that are higher in the winter. So there'll be a lot of people with symptoms. And those people with symptoms will want to be tested because they want to know, you know, if it's the flu, you know, it's not that big a deal. If it's the upper respiratory tract, it's probably even less of a big deal. And if it's COVID, then they would want to know that, especially if more therapeutics become available, or if the virus, the vaccine starts to roll out and is shown to be effective, that they're going to want to know whether they should be taking a vaccine or a therapeutic, or whether they just got the common flu, or whether they've got an upper respiratory tract infection. So there's going to be that demand on testing, and that demand is going to lead to more delays. And that's already happening. I mean, the numbers are slightly down, just to kind of touch on the numbers, because the weekend numbers are always lower. But just as a reminder, on Friday, there were over 60,000 cases in the U.S., and there were 1,370 deaths. So that's a high level for the deaths. On Saturday, numbers typically go down, but they didn't go down that much. There were 54,000 cases, and there were still over 1,000 deaths. There were 1,020 deaths on Saturday. And then yesterday, there were still more than 50,000 cases. There were 52,000 cases, but the number of deaths was down to 500, which is par for the course for weekends. The deaths are always slower because on Sunday they're either not collecting the data or they're not testing that much on Saturday as they do during the week. And then today the numbers are even lower, but that's common for Monday because Mondays are really reporting Sunday's results by and large. And it might be a little more from California, but there's about 42,000 cases and 435 deaths as of a few hours ago. So tomorrow the numbers will bounce back up again. If things go according to form, there'll be over 60,000 cases again tomorrow, and there'll be over 1,000 deaths reported tomorrow. And these numbers are just kind of, summertime numbers. These are the numbers that are happening over the summer, largely because of the states that are, they're showing some downward trend with California and Florida and Texas. But other states in the South and more in the Midwest now are showing higher numbers, and those numbers are going up on the cases, and then the trailing indicator, the deaths, will start going up in the next few weeks or so. So the numbers are all without a holiday. I mean, there hasn't been a holiday for a little while, so there's one coming up, and without school being in session. And
right.
And basically, okay, Most of the schools shut down for in-class teaching in the spring, and didn't really do that much in the summer, and are just now opening up. So it's still August, schools in the South are starting classes. Some undoubtedly will be offering in-class teaching. And even with the lower numbers, especially without the mask, those numbers are going to start going up. And those numbers are going to go start increasing in August and intensify significantly in September, or especially October. You know, October flu season's kind of in gear, and that's going to create all kind of problems, which I just went through. Trump did have a few briefings today and over the weekend.
Today's ended when he was escorted off the stage by Secret Service, as you saw.
Right. Well, it was delayed. It stopped. He came back.
Mm-hmm. Told everyone there was a shooting outside. I don't know.
I haven't heard that much about the shooter. The video of the shooter being shot is public. And he definitely had a gun, and it wasn't concealed, and it was in his hand. So I'm not sure what he thought was going to happen walking around near the White House with a pistol in his hand. But he did have the gun. You didn't hear the audio. The impression you got was the Secret Service said, hands up. He raised his left hand. He still had the gun in his right hand, and he was shot. He shot and fell over. He was definitely still alive, and he shot in the stomach. He dropped the gun. The officer kicked the gun away, and within 3 seconds, there were three other Secret Service, so there were four Secret Service around him, and I don't know what his condition is, but he definitely was near the White House with a pistol and did not stop when ordered to do so. So, the briefing reconvened. I mean, the reporters were locked in, and Trump was whisked away, and then he was brought back. And he did, you know, it didn't cover a whole lot about the pandemic. You know, he was giving reports on how the stock market was doing and how the recovery was coming along. And then put out some statistics. They weren't even statistics. They were statements, on the pandemic, which were, objectively false.
Right.
I mean, he came out and said that, you know, he went back to, oh, we got all these cases because of testing. We do more testing than anyone in the world. And, the numbers of reported tests are available. You can go to, you know, the Worldometer and just go to the total test and click on the top of the column, and it'll automatically sort it. And the U.S. doesn't go to the top. The number one country to test in the world is, you want to guess?
Brazil.
China. Really? China's done 90 million tests. U.S. is second with 66 million. But he said in the conference that U.S. was number one, and India was second with 11 million tests. Well, number one, India, I don't think has ever been second. They've been
so Brazil isn't even bothering to test much. That's the bottom line here, sounds like.
Well, Brazil's at 13 million. Brazil's tested, done 13 million tests. UK has done 18 million tests. India's done 24 million tests, and Russia's done 30 million tests. So the U.S. is number two, but it's not like they've done 66, and the rest, you know, number two is India at 11. In fact, Brazil, UK, India, Russia have all done more than 11. And Russia has done about half of the U.S., and Russia started later than the U.S. And China has done more than the U.S. And then they also said per capita. And the per capita number of deaths, you know, he said our per capita deaths was the lowest in the world or something to that effect. And that's not true either. That he cited the UK is having a higher death rate, but if you look at deaths, the U.S. is number 10 from being the worst, but there's 185 countries that are on this list. So 175 countries out of the 185 have a lower death per 1 million population than the U.S. The U.S. is at 501, and some of these that are lower are probably a little bit suspect. But there's only 10 that have worse numbers than the U.S. out of 185 on the list. So 175 have a lower death rate than the U.S. So the U.S. is nowhere near the low as far as per capita deaths. Those were two of his comments in the press briefing with regard to the pandemic. He really didn't say a whole lot beyond that. He spent most of the time talking about the recovery and
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, apparently he's asked about Mount Rushmore, and he wanted to know what was the process for you for getting his face carved into the mountainside. And they basically said, well, there's no more carvable space. There, four presidents took up the whole mountain. There's nothing left for adding anybody. So he took his picture with the for the background, so it kind of looked like he was in that group. And
they could make an artificial structure that would be higher than everyone else. Just put him on top.
Well, he was the only one in color. The others were kind of, you know, this gray stone. He had a color photo with his face next to the other four. He just had somebody take a convenient shot. But
next to those slave owners.
Right. He gave his made for TV solution to the impasse in Washington as far as coming up with a plan to offer some type of support for those who weren't doing well, and he's unemployment benefits ended, and the other types of relief. And Trump came up and said 600 a week, he'd do 400 a week, but with the 400 a week, he really couldn't do 400 a week because he was he was going to use the hurricane money for hurricane disasters. Now, the forecast for the hurricanes this year is to be one of the worst seasons on record as far as the number of hurricanes that were expected. And Trump wants to divert the hurricane relief money to cover unemployment benefits, but there wasn't enough money in that pot to cover the full amount. So he said he'd do 300 from the federal government, and each state would have to do 100 a week per unemployed, and they would have to administer it, and they would have to get that passed in their legislature. And most of the states are saying they need money now from what they've already spent with regard to the pandemic. and decreased revenues. So they're already in the red, and the number of states that are going to vote to come up with $100 per person, when in fact a lot of these states only do a maximum of $200 or $300 anyway, so they're going to tack on another $100 per unemployed, is
right.
Extremely doubtful. And then they have to administer it, and then they have to do a new amount. And the idea that this is going to be ready anytime soon, even if they voted for it, is ridiculous. It's not. It's going to take, even if they voted to go ahead and do that today, it would take several weeks before they could get it implemented.
Weeks.
And they're not going to vote for it because they don't have the money. And so this plan is not a plan at all. It's a made-for-TV plan that he could go ahead and get his Sharpie out and sign his executive. Executive action. It's called an action, not an order, because he's not even ordering it. He's asking permission to do it. He's got to get the states to agree to do this, and each of the states
same spectacular signature, no matter what.
Right. His signature, he's been practicing that signature for a while. He's got it down. He's got his favorite Sharpie. They all look the same, no matter if it's an action or an order or an actual
bill. If he were a founding father?
It's hard to tell what it looks like.
It would have been bigger than John Hancock's. It would have been bigger than John Hancock's signature.
He hasn't really gotten very many bills for his almost 4 years. Most of them have been executive orders that don't require money.
He learned by watching how John Hancock signed his name on the Declaration of Independence.
Right. And he had somebody to model. So he made it big enough so that they could see it without their eyeglasses. Right.
That's right.
So in any event, then there was another announcement today, at this briefing that had very little to do with the pandemic. He did announce a new person on the sideline. None of his scientific task force were there in the room. But sitting on the side was Scott Atlas, who makes frequent appearances on Fox News and says the pandemic, people are getting overly concerned about it, and it really isn't that bad because most of the people that die are elderly, over 70. So he argued that it's really not affecting younger people that much, and it's not of great concern. No lockdowns are required or desired, and that basically this is being overly concerned is being expressed by the media and the Democrats. And so he was the only scientist on the room, although he's retired. He was at Stanford. He's retired. And his background was in NMR, I think. It had nothing to do with viruses or epidemiology or, infectious diseases in general. It was simply taking pictures using a device that envisions what's in the body type of a thing. So he was introduced today, and it looks like Trump has pretty much abandoned all infectious disease experts, and as you said, he's not that big on Deborah anymore. Anthony Fauci's not at the top of
the referred to her pronouncements as pathetic, so that's kind of the kiss of death. Indeed. All right, Henry. Off and running. We'll see what happens tomorrow. More?
We'll have much bigger numbers to report tomorrow of over 60,000 cases and over 1,000 deaths. Okay. Stay safe.
Right.
See you tomorrow.
You too. All right. Okay, Dr. Henry Nyman, that's our program tonight. Tomorrow night, Tuesday, Jordan Maxwell will be with us tomorrow night, and Richard Allen Miller as well. How about that for a 1-2? Jordan is recovering from stroke and a heart attack, and he fortunately didn't suffer damage that altered anything but his sense of balance in the stroke, and he is doing much better. The heart attack, he's okay, holding his own. So Jordan tomorrow night and more. See you then. Take care.